Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Monday morning, October 31st, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This is a podcast that was kind of motivated due to a pretty clear realization. I mean, studies were showing this, but you were also seeing it more and more through church behavior that not only our society, but our churches are becoming less and less biblically literate. So I thought this might be a way to help out with that. I mean, there are a number of reasons, and I won't digress into what they all are, but the fact is, less and less people are spending time in the Word of God, or if they're spending time, they're spending an absolute minimum of time in the Word of God and in prayer. And that needs to change. We as Christians are called to do more than that. So we must. And so this was a way I was hoping that, you know, if people are still struggling to find time to sit down and do this, at least by listening to me, they can participate in it. You know, this isn't a stopgap. You need to be doing the reading yourself as well. But I was hoping this was a way I could help. We are changing up the format just a little bit. I had a talk with my pastor yesterday, and he made some very, very solid suggestions along the lines that I was already thinking about. So I was very, very grateful for that input. And so we're going to swap this up a little bit. We're going to change up our prayers in the morning. We've been doing resting on God and grace in trials for a while, but I want to expose you a little bit more to more of the prayers in Valley of Vision. And what we're also going to do is we're going to do the morning section of some praying and devotion, and then our reading, and then we're going to actually do the evening devotion and an evening prayer, and then an extra prayer that I've dug up, and we're going to change up those extra prayers the morning at the beginning and the ending of the episode. We're going to do different ones each day. I'm going to go pick different ones each day to give you more of an exposure of what is in Valley of Vision, and as encouragement for you to go get a hard copy yourself. There will be links to everything I'm going to read in the show notes. There are also going to be links to the hard copies for these resources, the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotional, and a Legacy Standard Bible, as well as a PDF of Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan and his letter to his congregation where he explains about it. And it's definitely worth it. I get it. Jump straight to the reading plan and get started, but it's definitely worth your while to read McShane's letter. It's definitely a wonderful letter, and it gives good direction as well. So we're going to be shifting to that. I'm going to work on doing less digression. I know I tend to wander off and on tangents, and I'm going to strive to do a better job of controlling that. I'm missing a text here. 145. Okay. Sorry. I need to scroll something real quick so I don't start on the wrong verse in Psalm 119 where we're reading sections through. Okay. So, and I will tell you that the link to the evening devotion probably will not work till after noon time. They, for some reason, where I'm getting those links from to read online for Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, usually in the morning, only the morning link will work. The evening link doesn't become active till like afternoon. I'm going to work on trying to find another resource for you being able to read that online, so you can read both morning and evening, whatever time of day you go to it. So try to find you a better link for that. But with all that said, let's go ahead and get started this morning. So our first prayer for this morning, we're going to do this prayer, and then we're going to do the second day morning prayer. This prayer is called the Trinity. Three in one, one in three, God of my salvation, Heavenly Father, Blessed Son, Eternal Spirit, I adore thee as one being, one essence, one God in three distinct persons, for bringing sinners to thy knowledge and to thy kingdom. O Father, thou hast loved me and sent Jesus to redeem me. O Jesus, thou hast loved me and assumed my nature, shed thine own blood to wash away my sins, wrought righteousness to cover my unworthiness. O Holy Spirit, thou hast loved me and entered my heart, implanted there eternal life, revealed to me the glories of Jesus. Three persons and one God, I bless and praise thee, for love so unmerited, so unspeakable, so wondrous, so mighty to save the lost and raise them to glory. O Father, I thank thee that in fullness of grace thou hast given me to Jesus to be his sheep, jewel, portion. O Jesus, I thank thee that in fullness of grace thou hast accepted, espoused, bound me. O Holy Spirit, I thank thee that in fullness of grace thou hast exhibited Jesus as my salvation, implanted faith within me, subdued my stubborn heart, made me one with him forever. O Father, thou art enthroned to hear my prayers. O Jesus, thy hand is outstretched to take my petitions. O Holy Spirit, thou art willing to help my infirmities, to show me my need, to supply words, to pray within me, to strengthen me that I faint not in supplication. O Triune God, who commandeth the universe, thou hast commanded me to ask for those things that concern thy kingdom and my soul. Let me live and pray as one baptized into the threefold name. Amen. All right, in our second day morning prayer, God over all. O God, all sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things. By the word of thy power, darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right. Now Spurgeon's morning devotion for October 31st. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. A backslider, if there be a spark of life left in him, will groan after restoration. In this renewal, the same exercise of grace is required as at our conversion. We needed repentance then. We certainly need it now. We wanted faith that we might come to Christ at first. Only the light grace can bring us to Jesus now. We wanted a word from the Most High, a word from the lip of the Loving One, to end our fears then. We shall soon discover, when under a sense of present sin, that we need it now. No man can be renewed without as real and true a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's energy as he felt at first, because the work is as great and flesh and blood are as much in the way now as ever they were. Let thy personal weakness, O Christian, be an argument to make thee pray earnestly to thy God for help. Remember, David, when he felt himself to be powerless, did not fold his arms or close his lips, but he hastened to the mercy seat with, "Renew a right spirit within me." Let not the doctrine that you, unaided, can do nothing, make you sleep, but let it be a goad in your side to drive you with an awful earnestness to Israel's strong helper. Oh, that you may have grace to plead with God as though you pleaded for your very life. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. He who sincerely prays to God to do this will prove his honesty by using the means through which God works. Be much in prayer. Live much upon the word of God. Kill the lusts which have driven your Lord from you. Be careful to watch over the future uprisings of sin. The Lord has his own appointed ways. Sit by the wayside, and you will be ready when he passes by. Continue in all those blessed ordinances, which will foster and nourish your dying graces. And knowing that all the power must proceed from him, cease not to cry, "Renew a right spirit within me." All right, and now our Bible reading, and I'm going to take some coffee real quick. All right, our readings today are 2 Kings 13, 2 Timothy 3, Hosea 5 and 6, and Psalm 119. We're going to start in 145. I think it's 145 through 178 or something like that. So 2 Kings 13. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel at Samaria. And he reigned 17 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and followed the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. So the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he gave them continually into the hand of Hazael, king of Aram, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael. Then Jehoahaz entreated the face of Yahweh, and Yahweh listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, how the king of Aram oppressed them. And Yahweh gave Israel a savior, so that they came out from under the hand of the Arameans, and the sons of Israel lived in their tents as formerly. Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel sin, but walked in them. And the Asherah also remained standing in Samaria. For he did not leave to Jehoahaz any people for the army, except 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Aram had caused them to perish and made them like the dust at threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Joash, his son, became king in his place. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, became king over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin, but he walked in them. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, and his might with which he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die. So Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and arrows." So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha placed his hand on the king's hand, and he said, "Open the window toward the east." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "Yahweh's arrow of salvation, even the arrow of salvation over Aram. For you will strike the Arameans at Aphek, until you have consumed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." And he struck it three times and stood still. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have consumed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. And Elisha died, and they buried him. Now the marauding bands of the Moabites would enter into the land in the spring of the year. Now it happened that they were burying a man, and behold, they saw a marauding band, and they cast the man into the grave of Elisha. And when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he became alive and stood up on his feet. Now Hazael, king of Aram, had oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But Yahweh was gracious to them, and had compassion on them, and turned to them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not bring them to ruin, or cast them from his presence until now. Then Hazael, king of Aram, died, and Ben-Hadad his son became king in his place. Then Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from the land of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken in war from the hand of Jehoahaz his father. 3 times Joash struck him and recovered the cities of Israel. All right, 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, without gentleness, without love for good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness but having denied its power. Keep away from such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and take captive weak women weighed down with sins, being led on by various desires, always learning and never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, disqualified in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as theirs was also. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things you learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hosea 5. Hear this, O priests, give heed, O house of Israel, give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you, for you have been a snare at Mizpah, and a net spread out on Tabor. And the revolters have dug deep into slaughtering, but I will chastise all of them. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the harlot. Israel has defiled itself. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know Yahweh. Moreover, the pride of Israel answers against him, and Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also has stumbled with them. They will go with their flocks and herds to seek Yahweh, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt treacherously against Yahweh, for they have borne children of strangers. Now the new moon will devour them with their portions. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Make a loud shout at Beth Aven. Behind you, Benjamin. Ephraim will become a desolation in the day of reproof. Among the tribes of Israel, I will make known what is true. The princes of Judah have become like those who move a boundary. On them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to walk after man's command. Therefore I am like a moth to Ephraim, and like rottenness to the house of Judah. Then Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah his sore. So Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, but he is unable to heal you or to cure you of your sore. Then I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear to pieces and go away. I will carry away, and there will be none to deliver. I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. Hosea 6. Come, let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bandage us. He will make us alive after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us pursue to know Yahweh. His going forth is established as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the late rain watering the earth. What shall I do for you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loving kindness is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loving kindness rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have trespassed against the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of workers of iniquity, with a track of blood, and as raiders wait for a man. So a band of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they have committed lewdness. In the house of Israel, I have seen an appalling thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there. Israel has defiled itself. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest set for you when I restore the fortunes of my people. All right, Psalm 119, starting in verse 45. I called with all my heart, answer me, O Yahweh. I will observe your statutes. I called to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I eagerly greet the dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes eagerly greet the night watches, that I may muse on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Yahweh, revive me according to your judgments. Near are those who pursue wickedness. They are far from your law. Near are you, O Yahweh, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. See my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Many are your compassions, O Yahweh. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and loathe them, those who do not keep your word. See how I love your precepts. O Yahweh, revive me according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments is everlasting. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart is in dread of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds much spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Those who love your law have much peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Yahweh, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry of lamentation come near before you, O Yahweh. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue answer with your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Yahweh, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have wandered off like a lost sheep. Search for your slave, for I have not forgotten your commandments. All right. And that is our reading for today. It was through 176, right? Yes, it was. Okay. And our devotion, evening devotion. This is Spurgeon's evening devotion. And the text for it is Hosea 13:5. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. Yes, Lord, thou didst indeed know me in my fallen state, and thou didst even then choose me for thyself. When I was loathsome and self-abhorred, thou didst receive me as thy child, and thou didst satisfy my craving wants. Blessed forever be thy name for this free, rich, abounding mercy. Since then, my inward experience has often been a wilderness, but thou hast owned me still as thy beloved and poured streams of love and grace into me to gladden me and make me fruitful. Yea, when my outward circumstances have been at the worst and I have wandered in a land of drought, thy sweet presence has solaced me. Men have not known me when scorn has awaited me, but thou hast known my soul in adversities. For no affliction dims the luster of thy love. Most gracious Lord, I magnify thee for all thy faithfulness to me in trying circumstances, and I deplore that I should at any time have forgotten thee and been exalted in heart, when I have owed all to thy gentleness and love. Have mercy upon thy servant in this thing. My soul, if Jesus thus acknowledged thee in thy low estate, be sure that thou own both himself and his cause, now that thou art in thy prosperity. Be not lifted up by thy worldly successes, so as to be ashamed of the truth or of the poor church with which thou hast been associated. Follow Jesus into the wilderness. Bear the cross with him when the heat of persecution grows hot. He owned thee, O my soul, in thy poverty and shame. Never be so treacherous as to be ashamed of him. Oh, for more shame at the thought of being ashamed of my best beloved. Jesus, my soul cleaveth to thee. I'll turn to thee in days of light, as well as nights of care. Thou bringest amidst all that's bright, thou fairest of the fair. All right. And our second day evening prayer. It's called Bounty. Thou great and only potentate, thou hast made summer and winter, day and night. Each of these revolutions serves our welfare and is full of thy care and kindness. Thy bounty is seen in the relations that train us, the law that defend us, the laws that defend us, the homes that shelter us, the food that builds us, the raiment that comforts us, the continuance of our health, members, senses, understanding, memory, affection, will. But as stars fade before the rising sun, thou hast eclipsed all these benefits in the wisdom and grace that purposed redemption by Jesus thy Son. Blessed be thy mercy that laid help on one that is mighty and willing, one that is able to save to the uttermost. Make us deeply sensible of our need of his saving grace, of the blood that cleanses, of the rest he has promised, and impute to us that righteousness which justifies the guilty, gives them a title to eternal life and possession of the Spirit. May we love the freeness of salvation and joy in its holiness. Give us faith to grasp thy promises that are our hope. Provide for every exigency and prevent every evil. Keep our hearts from straying after forbidden pleasures. May thy will bind all our wishes. Let us live out of the world as to its spirit, maxim, manners, but live in it as the sphere of our action and usefulness. May we be alive to every call of duty, accepting without question thy determination of our circumstances and our service. Amen. All right, in our last prayer of the episode, the title for this one is Happiness. O Lord, help me never to expect any happiness from the world, but only in thee. Let me not think that I shall be more happy by living to myself, for I can only be happy if employed for thee. And if I desire to live in this world, and if I desire to live in this world, only to do and suffer what thou dost allot me. Teach me that if I do not live a life that satisfies thee, I shall not live a life that will satisfy myself. Help me to desire the spirit and temper of angels, who willingly come down to this lower world to perform thy will, though their desires are heavenly, and not set in the least upon earthly things. Then I shall be of that temper I ought to have. Help me not to think of living to thee in my own strength, but always to look to and rely on thee for assistance. Teach me that there is no greater truth than this, that I can do nothing of myself. Lord, this is the life that no unconverted man can live, yet it is an end that every godly soul presses after. Let it be, then, my concern to devote myself and all to thee. Make me more fruitful and more spiritual, for barrenness is my daily affliction and load. How precious is time, and how painful to see it fly, with little done to good purpose. I need thy help. O may my soul sensibly depend upon thee for all sanctification, and every accomplishment of thy purposes for me, for the world, and for thy kingdom. Amen. All right, well, those are our readings for the day. I know most will be running around and celebrating Halloween, but honestly, in our household, we celebrate Reformation Day today. On this date, over 500 years ago, Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Chapel. He was concerned about how the Catholic Church he was a part of was straying. And his 95 theses were 95 concerns he had about how the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, had strayed from biblical doctrine, had added to biblical doctrine, and in a lot of cases, things that were directly contrary to the Bible. So he was concerned and wanted to have a scholarly discussion about it. And that was the normal way you would do it. You would post it on that door like that. So it wasn't it's easy for us to think, wow, what a crazy thing that he's hammering this on the door. That was actually a normal thing among the college where he worked, where he was, the university where he was, but it took on a life of its own. And thus the Reformation, thus the church, thus many, many godly people trying to bring the church back to the Bible. That's what Reformation is, trying to bring it back to the Bible. And we continue to this day, always protesting. That's where Protestant comes from, the Protestant Reformation, always protesting, and protesting in a means of constantly trying to reform the church and bring the church closer and closer to its biblical example. Because we still struggle, because man is involved with it. So that is what we tend to celebrate, at least in our household today. And I know our church does as well, as we spoke about yesterday during the service. So that's what we celebrate today. But I hope if you and your children are going out doing Halloween tonight, that you would be safe. We are going to end up doing it because it is our first one with our grandchild. So we will be doing it as well. But I want to leave you with this, and thinking about it being Reformation Day, I think this is a good thing. As crazy as the world is around us, and believe me, it's getting nuttier and nuttier, and persecutions are growing, particularly against the Christian church, the true Christian church, and we've seen it over the last 2 years. What we have to remember above all, and I constantly remind you to, and I've repeatedly prayed on this podcast, for revival, and we do need revival. But what we need to remember more than anything is that God has ordained what is going on. Whether we understand why or not, he has ordained it. And if we are truly his children, he has ordained it for our spiritual good. And we must take comfort in that. We must take comfort in that. And for those that are unsaved, I there is no other hope than in the salvation that comes from a saving faith in Jesus Christ, from that repentance and turning from sin, and a salvation and saving faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that offers hope in this world except that. So I would beg you to hit your knees, go into a prayer closet, go into a quiet place, whatever, and hit your knees in true humility. And to go in prayer to God. Maybe this is the first time you've ever talked to him, but go in prayer to God and beg him to do a work with you, within you, to send the Holy Spirit to do that work within you, to regenerate you, to replace that heart of stone, as Ezekiel speaks of, replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh, so that it can be molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit at the command of God, to bring you to a point of repentance, a turning from sin, an abhorrence of our own sin, and turning to a saving faith in Christ, and a true love and faith and confidence and hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. I would beg that of you. And for those of us that are saved, we still need to continue to pray that we don't get puffed up in our theology, and we don't get puffed up in the, oh, I was at church, and I was at adult Bible study, and I was at the men's group, or I was at the women's group, and I did this and I did that. But are we really walking? Are we really showing the fruits that we should be showing? We need to constantly humble ourselves and be turning back and praying that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in us, to shape us, and that we would not keep pulling out those favorite little sins that we struggle to mortify at the foot of the cross, that we truly bring them to the foot of the cross and mortify them and leave them there and walk from them in repentance and faith. And so I would pray that for you. And that is our hope. I mean, that is the only hope. But God is capable. This is the God that created all of this. This is the triune God that created this world and has ordained all that is going on. What can't he do? That is where our hope is. And the sovereignty of God makes very, very clear that he can and does do all of this. So we should have confidence in that. All right. I hope you have a wonderful day. Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time this morning to spend in your word and in devotion and in prayer. Dear Lord, we would continue to pray that this time would lift us up, would equip us, would edify us, and would hedge up our ways so that we would truly walk in this world as imitators of you, as imitators of Paul, as he was an imitator of Christ, so that we would truly shine your light in this world to bring glory to you. Dear Lord, this world so badly needs it. And Lord, we would continue to pray for revival for our country and for this world as a whole. But most of all, we pray that your will would be done, whether we understand it or not. I know most of the times I do not understand your will. I sit there and just in befuddlement because I'm just not smart enough, nor will I ever be. And that's what's ordained. But Lord, we would pray your will would be done. But if it is your will, we would pray for revival for this world and for our country, that revival will come, because we know that is the only chance of things correcting themselves. No amount of legislation will ever fix this. No amount of moralizing will ever fix this. So Lord, we pray for that. But most of all, again, we pray for your will. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go out into this world so that we truly would be representatives of you. We would be ambassadors for you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I love you. You have a wonderful day. And God willing, we will meet back here tomorrow morning. God bless.